In March 2019, a post was made to 4chan that reads as follows. I think I found a fake town last year. Like, Truman Show fake. Be me. Last summer. Cross-country road trip, hitting up some national parks. In central southern Utah. It's getting late, like 10 p.m. Been driving since 6-ish. It's dark as fuck. No moon, can only see what's lit up by my headlights. Decide to find some place to rest for the night at next exit. See a town, off in the distance. Turn off on only pull-off I've seen for over an hour, heading towards town. Pull-off is unmarked and unlit, not on car GPS, no cell service. Town is directly ahead though, keep going. Road turns to dirt road, and is about 5 miles until it turns to pavement again. Right at the town, where businesses and houses start showing. Immediately, town strikes me as weird. Nobody is on the streets, no cars on the streets, or in the businesses' parking lots. Jazz music is being pumped through the streets for some reason. Not loudly, but loud enough to hear. This town that looked to be about 7 blocks wide from some miles out has every major fast food chain on the main strip, and 7 hotels on the main street. Still no cell service, no GPS, go to get food. KFC was fully illuminated and unlocked, nobody there. Same thing with Jack in the Box. McDonald's has cashier and cook when I go there. Both looked annoyed. Take my order, give me distinctly non-McDonald's nuggets and fries. Leave, start going to get a bed for the night. Hampton Inn, empty parking lot, 3rd annoyed-looking person informs me they're all booked up. La Quinta, person I'm now convinced was the cook at McDonald's, is behind the check-in counter. Also empty parking lot, also fully booked. Holiday Inn Express, empty parking lot, person that was clearly the damn cashier at McDonald's, is behind the check-in counter. Surprisingly, they have rooms. Ask him if he is the guy from McDonald's. No. That's my brother. Fuck it. Good enough for me. Get to room. Wi-Fi exists, but nothing loads. Shower. Crash. Wake up next day. No breakfast in lobby. No other guests. McDonald's guy still there for checkout. Ask him how to get out of town. Same road you came in on. Head to McDonald's to get something to eat. Town is still playing smooth jazz. Still nobody on the street. Order a drive-thru. Drive-thru lady is definitely lady from the Hampton Inn. Ordered a McGriddle and black coffee. She hands me a microwaved English muffin sandwich and what I assume to be some kind of instant coffee. Place is too fucking weird to stay and argue. Heading down the only road in and out of town. Maybe 3 miles on to the 5 mile dirt road, notice big metal wire fence on both sides of the road in the desert. Meet on the road in a big motorized gate that is open. Soon as I pass through gate, starts closing. Gets back onto road, finally get onto 62? That's not right. Could have sworn I was on 89 when I decided to pull off and there's mountains in between. Finally get cell service, nothing matches description of town. None of the charges ever show up on my card. I've told some people, and one suggested it was Richfield, but I know I was south of there, and you know, they would have actually charged me for stuff. That's the end of the story. This sounds like someone's little writing project, doesn't it? I mean, there are weird towns out there, I don't doubt that, especially in Utah, but the cashier at the McDonald's being the same person as the receptionist at the hotels, the charges never showing up in his bank statements, this guy's just getting too cute with the uncanny, unsettling stuff. If Stephen King read this, he'd be like, promising first draft, kid, but it could use some work. It doesn't help that of all the places this could have been posted, it was on 4chan, the same place Pizzagate came from, the land of ancient aliens and men's rights activists. I think that should automatically put to rest any speculation that it was a true story. That could have been it. That story could have sunk in the depths of the internet and never been seen again. If it weren't for some intrepid internaut later on in summer 2020 who discovered the original post and posted a screenshot to Reddit. The post received some attention on Reddit, being posted to several different communities, and while it wasn't really big enough to be described as viral, it did spread to other social media sites over the next few months. By spring 2021, the screenshot ended up on Tumblr, and here the story took on a new twist that brought it out from the realms of the unreal. I'm your host, Tor Parsons, this is my co-host, Jollibee the Durian, and welcome to Tor's Cabinet of curiosities. Since I was little, I've always loved the horror thriller trope of a town with a secret. The idea of a town where everyone knows something that the outsider doesn't is deliciously unnerving to me. I'm not talking about, like, secret cities that the US military built during the Manhattan Project. Those were definitely towns with a secret, but they were too secret to be creepy to me. They didn't appear on maps, weren't on any major roads, and their existence wasn't acknowledged until the war was over. The sort of thing I'm thinking is like Twin Peaks, Washington, or the New England town in Shirley Jackson's story, The Lottery, or many a rural Maine town in a Stephen King book. Within the world of the story, it's definitely a real place. It's on maps, and you can go there, or even move there, without anyone trying to stop you. But once you move there, you begin to realize that the people there aren't like you. They know something that you don't. Something you're gonna have to learn pretty soon. Once you know it, you can't go back. You know the town's secret. Maybe the reason this trope is so unsettling to me is because it's so wrong. In the past, maybe right up to the beginning of the 20th century, it's possible that individual towns really did have secrets because towns were self-contained units. Throughout most of history, travel has been difficult. Most people lived and died in the same town they were born. Today, especially in America, people move all the time. People define themselves by things other than where they're from. The idea of an entire town full of different kinds of people all conspiring to keep something secret from the outside world is so out of place in today's world. It seems like the residents of such a place must be something other than human. People aren't usually that creepily united. So, as you can imagine, I was pretty captivated by this story when I first came across it, even though it wasn't the best fictional account of stumbling into a possibly fake town on a long road trip I've come across. It's sort of a sub-subgenre of stories in places where interesting urban legends are tossed around. But the really fascinating thing about this story in particular was the comments. Several Tumblr users claimed that not only was this story true, they knew exactly what was going on. This is a top comment. OP accidentally drove onto a government training site. Most of the major agencies, FBI, CIA, etc., supposedly maintain small, fake, but fully built and realistic towns for training exercises. The people in town were base staff, and they were all pissed off at him because they were going to have to fill out long and tedious reports about a civilian getting onto the site. End quote. The way this comment was worded suggested the commenter knew their stuff, or at least thought they knew their stuff. But the needle really began to tip toward the story being true against all odds when another commenter claimed to have identified exactly where the fake town was from the original poster's description. They said, Paiute Reservoir, East Bank, military installation that is locked on Google Maps. It's visible from 89, and the road south passes through a Google Maps censored security gate right before 62. Looking at that specific place in southern Utah on Google Maps, I can't find anything particularly odd. There's nothing that looks like it could be a fake town from satellite imagery, but remember that various countries' militaries regularly ask Google to censor aerial photos of their installations. The best example I know of this, and I invite you to take a look at this yourself, is the military airfield in Villacoublay, France, outside of Paris. Put that into Google Maps and look at what's south of the town. That mass of pixels is a military airfield that France got Google to censor. Now, I don't see quite as obvious a pixelated hidden thing on the east bank of Paiute Reservoir in southern Utah, The other blurred military bases you'll find on Google Maps are quite conspicuous. Meanwhile, the east bank of Paiute Reservoir just looks like a lot of desert to me, but I assume it's not hard to cover up aerial imagery of a town in the Utah desert, so it just looks like more desert. A consensus began to develop, both on Tumblr and elsewhere on social media, that the story of the Utah fake town was true after all. Summing up the situation, one Tumblr user said, "I love how OP describes something straight out of Stephen King," and then a bunch of people are like, "Yeah, it's one of them CIA fake towns, like it's just one of the things everyone but the OP knows about." Then responding to their own post, they said, "Update, I started telling this story to my military brat husband and he was like, oh, one of those fake special forces training towns? Are OP and I the only ones out of the loop?" And a pretty compelling narrative was coming together. Clearly, all the people in town were annoyed at the wayward traveler because civilians weren't supposed to be in the town. But they didn't try to arrest him because that would blow the town's cover and reveal to the world there was a fake military training town there. The same person kept showing up in different uniforms because the higher-ups were scrambling over how to respond to the accidental infiltration and were probably telling the poor guy what to do minute by minute. The place was, naturally, surrounded by fences, but it isn't out of the question to suggest that someone might have accidentally left a gate open somewhere near the town. The McDonald's food wasn't McDonald's food because they just threw together whatever food they had on the base, and they didn't charge our hero for it because it would allow him to confirm it wasn't a real McDonald's and find out what was really going on. Even what is arguably the weirdest, most surreal detail in the whole story, the smooth jazz music playing in the streets, which has such a liminal space vibe, that had a reasonable explanation according to some ex-military Reddit users. Clearly the fake town has a loudspeaker system to announce training exercises, so music is played when there's nothing to announce to test that the loudspeakers are working. Allegedly, this exact thing is done on some less secret military bases. And of course there's a strong military presence in Utah because of the state's clear skies, cheap land, conservative values, and remoteness. So this seemed to be a true story after all. Reddit suggested swarming the town and occupying it, along the lines of the Area 51 raid. But let's look a little closer at all this speculation. Are there really secret fake towns built as training sites for government agencies? Well, they're secret, so we can't say for sure, but there's good evidence that they are, because there are a few non-secret fake towns. The most famous is probably Hogan's Alley, a mock-up of a small town near the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia, which is used to stage bank robberies, hostage situations, and other large-scale crimes for FBI agents in training to practice responding to. Hogan's Alley has gotten a fair amount of press, and the general public can even tour it now and then. It's got basically every kind of business you can find in a real small town, including hotels and restaurants, but assuming the Utah fake town is real, it must be designed according to different protocols, because every fake business in Hogan's Alley has a fake brand name. There's no fake McDonald's, fake KFC, or fake Holiday Inn, although there's probably a fake burger joint, fake chicken shop, and fake budget hotel. According to a Wall Street Journal profile on the place, there is one real, and really real, not fake real, chain business in Hogan's Alley. A fully functioning, fully staffed Subway, where FBI trainees and actors playing criminals can break for lunch. While Hogan's Alley doesn't sound much like the fake Utah town, there are other definitely real fake towns that are a bit more similar. Out in California's Mojave Desert lies Fort Irwin, a military base the size of Rhode Island, which includes anywhere from 8 to a whopping 14 fake towns, depending on who you ask, for military personnel to practice urban combat in. The most famous is a fake Afghan town known as Ertabat Sher, which was used for training soldiers before deployment to Afghanistan, but there's also a generic Middle Eastern town, an Eastern European one, and even an American one with a four-lane freeway, in case US territory is ever invaded. The American town isn't used much, and unlike Ertabat Sher, which, like Hogan's Alley, can sometimes be visited by tourists, the American fake town is off-limits to everyone but the military. There isn't much information on it beyond this, but that just further suggests there could be other, only slightly more secret, fake towns elsewhere. The deserts of the southwestern US have been home to secret and fake towns for quite a while, too. One of the aforementioned Manhattan Project secret cities, Mercury, was on a base in Nevada, and nearby the military built a set of buildings nicknamed Survival Town, populated with mannequins to serve as the target for nuclear tests. If that sounds familiar, it's because it appeared in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. There were even a pair of definitely real fake military towns in Utah during World War II, though they've long since been demolished and were a long way from the part of the state where 4chan Man allegedly got lost. On the Dugway Proving Ground, a weapons testing facility near Salt Lake City, a mock German town and a mock Japanese town were built for the same reason the US military has fake Middle Eastern towns today. A different kind of fake town plagued users of road atlases for the entire period of history in which people used road atlases. Every now and then, map publishers would insert non-existent towns into their maps to catch potential rivals infringing on their copyright. If a tiny town in northern Ohio that wasn't real appeared on a rival's map, they'd know they were being copied. Fake towns, added to an official map as a copyright trap, are known as paper towns, phantom settlements, or, and I'm not making this part up, mount weasels, which I could explain, but I don't feel like it. The most famous paper towns are a pair of communities close to the Michigan border in Ohio, which were called Bitosu and Goblu, and only ever appeared in the 1978 edition of the official Michigan State Highway map. Their names were meant to be read as Beat OSU and Go Blue, a reference to the University of Michigan's long-standing rivalry with Ohio State. Clearly, though, our intrepid 4chaner couldn't have ended up in a paper town, because the whole point of those is that they're neither real towns nor real fake towns. They're the opposite sort of non-existent town than all the fake military and police training towns I just got finished talking about. They appear on a map, but there's nothing there. But there are fake towns, with real buildings and real purposes. Of that, we can be sure. But is there one on the east bank of Paiute Reservoir in Utah? This is a little iffier. While all the research the internet has put into proving the existence of this place paints a believable picture, ultimately, the people digging up this information are not foreign intelligence services spying on the US, they're a bunch of kids in a vast virtual sandbox. More Calvin and Hobbes than KGB. Some people began to have their doubts about what was now being treated as the clear solution to this mystery. One Utah resident who was questioned about the situation on Reddit said that they initially believed the story could be true, saying, "There's weird government shit all over this area," but the person came to doubt Road Trip McGreentext's story after talking to other people in their southern Utah hometown. They eventually concluded that the story was probably made up, saying that if such a thing existed in their area, there would at least be rumors about it. Nobody this person spoke to had ever heard anyone suggest such a place existed. Another widely raised point of contention was the normalness of the hotel. The wanderer above the sea of 4chan was able to check into a room at the hotel and found it to be a fairly ordinary room, fully cleaned and everything, which seems like it would be overkill for a military training installation trying to simulate a real town. I don't know, maybe there's one real room at the hotel for visiting generals who come to oversee training exercises or something. Or maybe it's evidence the story is made up. Or maybe it was something other than a military training facility. Speculation has gone to weirder places too. But this is Utah, where nothing is too weird. One thing I kept seeing in researching this story was the mysterious phrase, Chili Town. As in, beans and cheese and ground beef in a can, town. The screenshot of the story was posted under the heading Chili Town, or Chili Town in Utah, on several different Reddit forums by several different users. When the screenshot was posted to an image hosting site, the comments were full of statements along the lines of, "It's Chili Town, and you found Chili Town." I thought that was a reference to some show where there was a fake town nicknamed Chili Town, but all I found were links back to the same story. I wasn't the first person to plant my boots into the virgin soil of the What is Chili Town trail, either. Wherever there were commenters saying the place was called Chili Town, they were outnumbered by commenters saying, "What the hell is Chili Town?" I speculated it could be military slang for a fake training town. It kind of sounds like military speak, doesn't it? But what limited explanations there were of Chili Town went down a weirder path. Several different people, all claiming to be from southern Utah, asserted it was a small town run by a cult that sacrifices outsiders, that built the fake town to draw people in. Now, okay, this sounds like a total urban myth, right? I sent out a request on a Reddit forum for Utah residents asking what Chilitown was, since there really wasn't any information on Chilitown other than the comments to this story on social media, and most of the responses I got were as confused as I was. Nobody seemed to know quite what Chilitown was, except one person who said, and I'm going off a single anonymous source here, but I don't have anything else, that Chilitown was a southern Utah-specific term for migrant farm worker communities. They appear and disappear, depending on the seasons, as the workers who live on cans of chili come and go. Hence, a mysterious town that isn't on maps in southern Utah might be jokingly called a chili town, just like the tent cities of chili-eating Hispanic farm workers who are here today and gone tomorrow. Ultimately, it made me think we had a situation sort of like the fearsome critters of lumberjack legend, where one person tries to prank an outsider by referencing something that doesn't exist, another person within the in-group recognizes what they're trying to do, and together they improvise a story, yes-anding each other, of something hair-raising they witnessed, creating an impression to the outsider that they're talking about something real they already know about. It looked to me like someone from southern Utah had initially commented Chilitown, and another southern Utahan looking at the post, who knew what Chilitown meant but also knew most people didn't, decided to use it as a hook for a tall tale to prank other internet users, responding with something like, "Oh yeah, Chilitown, that's that cult compound, right?" Then another resident of the same area, realizing what was going on, took the story further. "Yeah, they sacrifice people." I should have known, though, that while towns run by murderous cults might sound like a tall tale in most places, this is Utah. So, I think it's well known among the general public that in its early days, the Mormon Church practiced polygamy. And when the church leadership got rid of it, because they were practicing respectability politics to get Protestant America to like them, it made sense that some people were pissed. In 1929, a group of recalcitrant polygamists decided that the mainstream church was no longer the true Mormon church and formed the FLDS, Fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints, a group that were as weird to the mainstream Mormons as all Mormons were to everyone else. The FLDS taught, and currently teach, they still exist, not just that polygamy is okay, but that it is required. A man must have three or more wives to go to heaven. Researching the FLDS, I found out about what may be the closest real thing there is to a Stephen King-style town with a secret.
Men marry multiple wives. Everyone obeys the authority of the church, and the world is kept out.
This is the only way of life I've ever known. Because everyone around you was like you. Most of them are related in one way or another. It was like a great big family.
We don't talk to apostates. We feel like they've made their choice. Go ahead, go live your life. Don't bother us.
Unlike the mythical Chilitown, the towns of Colorado City, Arizona, and Hilldale, Utah, are plainly visible on a map. The twin small towns, right across the Utah-Arizona border from each other, are right along State Highway 59, which might take you from the Grand Canyon to Salt Lake City, for example. You can stop for gas there, or if you're an outdoorsy type taken by the Red Rock landscape, you might even decide to move there, as a few unsuspecting people did over the years. There are public schools operated by the states of Utah and Arizona in each town, and Google Street View footage dating back to 2008. Which is why it seems all the more unbelievable that until 2017, both towns were under the totalitarian control of the FLDS, which outlawed books, alcohol, and the internet, owned basically all the property and businesses in the area, and practiced organized persecution against the town's few non-FLDS residents with a paramilitary police force known as the God Squad.
My name is Agent
God.
This is my partner, Agent
God.
We work for an organization run by
God
that investigates anything strange, weird, and especially
God.
Who do we work for? We work
God.
For God.
Anyway, the FLDS. Their iron-fisted grip on Colorado City and Hilldale, collectively known as Short Creek, only began to break in the late 2000s, after the then-leader of the FLDS, Warren Jeffs, was sent to prison for sex trafficking, which should surprise absolutely no one. The rest of the FLDS leadership continued to enforce their violent little theocracy within legal bounds until the mid-2010s, when non-FLDS residents who were deprived of access to the town's utilities and regularly harassed by God Squad agents filed a lawsuit against the town government. A judge ordered them to stop, and like the UN overseeing a developing country emerging from war, state election officials guided a gradual transition to democracy in Short Creek. In 2017, Hilldale elected its first non-FLDS mayor and majority non-FLDS city council. Colorado City followed soon after, and most of the FLDS residents have now left to more remote places. Now, in the heyday of the Short Creek area, almost nobody there had jobs. As much as they hated the government, most members of the FLDS cult got their money by ripping off Medicaid and food stamp benefits, and the two towns' FLDS leaders did everything they could to get more welfare money flowing into the cult's coffers. One thing they allegedly did, to create a tax loophole, was they built lots of buildings and deliberately left them unfinished. A few people I've come across in discussions of the 4chan fake town story who had driven through the Short Creek area at the time say that Colorado City in particular, the larger of the two towns, looked like a fake town. In the middle of town, almost all the buildings were empty and partially finished, with few real businesses given that there were no jobs and no economy in town. A few people even mentioned seeing cardboard cutouts of people in the windows of the unfinished buildings in Short Creek, and while I can't see any examples of this on cult-era Google Street View images, I don't totally doubt this. So, the question all of you had on your minds, of course, could Colorado City be the mystery town where Mean Mr. 4chan spent the night? Probably not. First of all, it's a long way away from where he claimed to have gotten lost. The Highway 8962 junction near Paiute Reservoir is 150 miles from the Short Creek towns. Also, he describes this incident as happening in summer 2018, which would have been after the area got decultified. There probably weren't any more fake businesses left by then, and I don't think there would ever have been fake locations of actual restaurant and hotel chains. That would have gotten Short Creek immediately noticed and sued, I think. And going around circa 2008 Google Street View footage of the town, I see a lot of half-completed houses and nondescript white buildings, but no business insignia or any signs at all. Even today, I don't think there are any major fast food chains in Colorado City or Hilldale. The website truthorfiction.com, which seems to be a Snopes clone that I hadn't heard of until I began researching this episode, points out the similarities in the 4chan fake town story to a classic Reddit story, which I didn't realize I'd read before until I saw it on Truth or Fiction. The Reddit story dated back to 2013 and had been posted on Glitch in the Matrix, a Reddit page ostensibly devoted to real-life inexplicable occurrences that have happened to people. Pretty much everyone knows that most of the stories posted to Glitch in the Matrix are made up, but they maintain the illusion of them being real in the comments and everything because, hey, it's fun to believe in something, and some of the stories are really good. I don't think I was on Reddit yet in 2013, but I remember reading that Glitch in the Matrix story I'm about to read several years ago, back when it was still one of the most viewed posts of all time on that sub. This, I realized, was what the 4chan fake town story had first reminded me of. I didn't think of it at the moment, but I do remember the first time I read the Lost 4chaner's Tale of Woe and believed it to be a work of fiction, I thought it was derivative of another I Got Lost and Found a Mysterious Town online story, and I now realize this is the specific story I was thinking about. This is it. My best friend found this subreddit. He told me I needed to share this story. It's kind of weird and unbelievable, I have no proof that it happened, but if you want to hear a story, gather around. In the winter of 2009, my brother and I took a road trip from Portland, Oregon to Port St. Lucie, Florida. We were visiting my sister, who lives in Port St. Lucie. She and her husband just had their first child, and my brother and I were excited. On the trip to Port St. Lucie, we took a combination of freeways from the northwest all the way down to the southeast corner, basically a diagonal route, but several times throughout our voyage, we were delayed by snow. The trip, which should have taken no more than 3 days, ended up taking 5. Because of this delay, we had to cut short our visit with our sister's family. On the trip back to Portland, we decided to take I-10 the entire way. This freeway runs all the way from Florida to Los Angeles and would completely keep us away from the snow. The I-10 route added several hundred miles, but we both needed to be home for work the following Monday, and this was a surefire way not to be delayed. The first day of the return trip was uneventful, but we did manage to drive 1,300 miles from Port St. Lucie to San Antonio before stopping for the night. The plan was to make it all the way to Las Vegas the next night, which would leave us with about a 14-hour final day drive. The trip was going well. It wasn't until we left San Antonio that weird shit began happening. The car we took on this trip was a 2008 Honda Civic Hybrid. The entire trip we had been getting right around 35 mpg, digitally displayed on the dash, so we had become very aware of how many miles we could squeeze out of a tank. We knew to refuel around 350 miles, but we also knew we could stretch that number into the low 400s if need be. About 100 miles outside San Antonio, I noticed the fuel gauge was dropping noticeably faster than usual, so I clicked the button to change the dashboard display, only to see the car was getting barely 26 mpg. At first I was shocked, but I reasoned it to probably driving uphill the entire way. I thought throughout the course of an entire tank of fuel it would eventually balance itself out and we would finish the tank within that range. I was wrong. I kept a very detailed log of this entire trip, and this one stop in Fort Stockton, Texas is the only anomaly in the entire book. The car, which had consistently held around 35 mpg, suddenly finished off an entire tank at about 25.8. That's over a 100-mile difference in the vehicle's normal range. I still to this day cannot figure out why there was such a drastic shift in fuel consumption in that 300-mile stretch. I have almost come to the conclusion it was an intentional glitch in order to make us pull over where we did. Our original plan was to refuel about 50 miles later in a town I cannot remember, but we obviously ran short on fuel. Anyway, with our GPS programmed to Las Vegas, we headed back onto the road in which the GPS directed. Pretty soon after we got back on the road, we realized we were no longer on 10 heading west, instead we were north on Highway 285. Here's a TIL for some people. Evenly numbered highways and freeways are heading east-west while odds are north-south. We didn't think much about being off the interstate because many times throughout the drive we had been directed onto bypass highways. We assumed this was just another such instance. After about an hour and a half of driving on 285, we crossed into New Mexico, about 2 hours earlier than we should have crossed the border. By this time, we realized the GPS thought this was a more efficient way to get to Vegas, even though by all accounts, it is about an hour faster if we had stayed on the 10. We were annoyed, but decided to just stick it out with the GPS and keep heading north to New Mexico. Nearly 5 hours after refueling in Fort Stockton, my brother and I were hungry and decided it was time to find somewhere to eat. Driving through this part of New Mexico is kind of lonely. There are very few towns, and where there are towns, they're small and on the verge of becoming ghosts. I think their economies are built around helping travelers fill their gas tanks. Other than that, I cannot see a reason for them to exist. My brother and I have talked about what happened next so many times, but we still cannot figure it all out. We passed through a small town with a couple gas stations, and we know the town was named Vaughan, New Mexico. And then about 20 miles later, we drove through a town called Encino, New Mexico, that did not have a gas station that we can recall. In fact, the second town didn't really seem to have much there of anything. I wasn't sure if anyone was living there. I seem to remember questioning why it existed in the first place, but then quickly dismissing it and driving right through. Not even 10 miles after passing through Encino, we surprisingly came upon a town that wasn't loaded in the GPS. This wasn't a big deal because I was using a cheap handheld that lost its signal all the time, but usually the only things it didn't display were newly built roads and recent construction areas. This city was definitely not brand new, so I figured the GPS was being buggy. The oddest part of finding this city, neither of us remembers seeing any warning we were coming upon a town of this size. It had several fast food joints, restaurants, hotels, motels, a grocery store, and even some bars. If I were to guess, I would say the city was roughly 10 to 20,000 people. We decided to pull off and grab a bite to eat. Normally we probably would have grabbed some fast food, but my brother saw a Ruby Tuesdays and really wanted to try it out. There were a couple Ruby Tuesdays around the Portland area at the time, but neither of us had been there. We had just heard they had a pretty good salad bar, and I guess my brother was in the mood for something other than fast food. I went along with this suggestion because I was sick of eating junk. For the rest of the story, I will be N and my brother will be G. We pulled into the Ruby Tuesday's parking lot, got out of the car, and walked in the restaurant. Immediately upon entering, a waitress who was milling about the hostess station said, "Oh my word, is that N and G?" Both my brother and I answered that it was indeed us, and the waitress went on to ask how life was in Portland. Suddenly it clicked. This girl knows who we are, but we're over 1,000 miles from home. Did we know her? My brother and I both gave very basic, vague answers to her question, and I could tell she was kind of unsettled that we were being evasive. When we were seated, my brother immediately asked where we knew her from, which was the same question I was going to ask him. I told him that I had no idea who she was, and she obviously had mistaken us for some other people. Not more than a minute later, this guy bartender comes up and says, "No fucking way, G and N, you back for jobs?" "What?" My brother went on to tell the guy they had us mistaken with some other people. He laughed and dismissed my brother's response as a joke. The bartender continued on seamlessly and started asking how we'd fared in the 3-month anatomy and physiology course we had taken at Oregon State. I remember thinking, this is not a coincidence anymore. My brother and I had taken a 3-month, 15-credit A&P class at Portland State University when we were in our early 20s. We were in our late 20s when this interaction happened. Finally, I asked this guy exactly where they knew us from, and he just kind of paused and started looking me over. Then he said, "Oh damn, you guys just look really similar to some people who used to work here." He apologized and claimed he had to get back to work. After a bit, our food came, and my brother and I noticed they had switched out our waitress from the girl who recognized us when we walked in. That wasn't a big deal. Next, a guy who I can only guess was the manager starts walking over to our table with a big smile on his face. As he gets within about 10 feet of us, he kind of starts looking over my head and stops. I think someone behind me was directing him not to talk to us. After he received the message, he sharply turned 90 degrees and walked away without saying a word. This had quickly become the most awkward meal of our lives. It went from people acting like it was a celebration for us to have showed up, to everyone avoiding all eye contact with us at all cost. After we finished up with our meals, the waitress came and told us the cash registers were frozen and our meal was on the house. I really wanted to ask the waitress the name of the city we were in, but I also really wanted to get out of there. After leaving the restaurant, we were running pretty low on gas, so I decided to refuel before we got on the highway. I assumed the name of the city would be printed on the receipt. We were not that lucky. This city strip was a one-way road on the eastern side of the highway. When we left Ruby Tuesdays, the only way to turn was right, and it headed straight back to northbound 285. In order to refuel, I would have to head north on the one-way street and turn right on a side street to head back to the southern part of town to the gas station. The only available right-hand turn was closed, so I was forced back onto the highway without fueling up. About 20 minutes later, we found a truck stop at the intersection of 205 and I-40, where we finally filled up. The rest of the trip was very ordinary. We talked at length about how weird that Ruby Tuesdays was in the middle of New Mexico. We came up solutions about how we had doppelgangers with the same names. We joked about how people that look similar follow the exact same paths in life regardless of their upbringing. We talked ourselves into it being a major coincidence. When we finally got back to Portland, we decided to do a little research and find out the name of the town. Here is the Google Maps picture of that stretch of highway. We know we refueled at a truck stop at the intersection of 285 and I-40, which means we had to have passed through Vaughan and Encino, so there should be a city between the truck stop and Encino. I don't see anywhere on the regular map or the satellite map where this little city could possibly be. We have never really been able to answer what happened that day. I can still vividly remember the waitress's face of unease by the way my brother and I were behaving, the bartender's voice change when he figured out we were not the people he thought we were, and thinking the manager looked like the actor Ken Moreno. My brother and I both know this stuff happened, but we have never been able to find the solution. Maybe some Redditors can give me an answer, or maybe this was just a glitch. Maybe someone has driven that stretch of road and knows the town. And that's the end. Now reading back through this story, I realize just how many elements this pretty well-written work of almost definitely fiction shares with the itinerant 4chaner's story. The Southwest setting, the long road trip in an unfamiliar area, the stop at night at a well-known chain restaurant, and the intricate geographical detail with highway numbers and town names to add verisimilitude. While the internet may have gotten us excited over this 4chan user's apparent discovery of a fake military training town, ultimately, the original poster may have just been trying to rip off a classic Reddit story. In the search for a military training facility in the desert that matches the 4chan troubadour's description, a Twitter user managed to find something actually interesting. Open up Google Maps with satellite view and put in the coordinates 33.44 north, 114.31 west. You should be in a desert, Zoom out a little, and just to the north, very conspicuously, there's a cloverleaf highway interchange, without any highway. There are no marked roads anywhere near it, just a cloverleaf out in the desert. Nearby, there's a small grid of streets, which if you zoom in are incongruously wide with boulevard-style medians. Around them are clusters of little boxes which don't look quite like buildings, but might be ramshackle prefab huts. To the south of this area, there's another similar cluster of streets and a roundabout. Nothing anywhere near there is marked as a town on Google Maps. The nearest sign of civilization is, yes, a military base, about 20 miles to the south. This is almost definitely a secret fake military training town. Not all military sites are pixelated on Google Maps. The catch? This location is out in the desert near Yuma, Arizona, 500 miles south of the area in Utah where Mr. 4chan says he got lost. The story may be as fake as the town he says he found himself in, but it seems like it did lead to this discovery of a real place like the one he described. Or who knows? Maybe fearing that putting in an accurate location would put him on a watch list, when he decided to post on 4chan about his strange Arizona adventure, he changed the setting in his telling to Southern Utah. You really never know.